I asked somebody the other day, do you all have snow here? I guess you do, huh? And not only that, some of you, I mean, really, you're looking outside and you're thinking, Pastor Russ, you're going home today? Are you crazy? And I only can come up with one answer, and that is yes, I am. But we just have had a wonderful time. Thank you so much. And just to get to meet you folks and just to see how talented some of your men are here in church with all the neat hobbies. It was just so much fun to come yesterday and just to talk to everybody and find out a little bit about what they're interested in. And, you know, yesterday it was my privilege to just share the Word of God and bring up the fact that God is good, isn't He? We have a good God. He loves us. That's a wonderful thing. And we're going to turn to this passage, and I was thinking about this. I thought, what better way to express our love than what we're going to talk about today? Because we have such a great and wonderful God, what better way to say thank you than to give Him our lives and to really mean it, not just go through the motions? So I'd like you to take your Bibles, and would you please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, I normally, in our congregation, I hand out little notes you can write on, and I do a PowerPoint, and I didn't do that today. So I will try to be very clear today, and I noticed that in the bulletin, it's just Pastor Russ and then a big blanks, but you can draw pictures of me if you want. Make my mustache longer than it is, and whatever you want to do. But I'll try to be clear. How's that? I'd like to start reading in chapter 11 and verses 33 and following through to chapter 12 and verse number 2. Can we do that? And in honor of God's word this morning, shall we stand as we read the word of God this morning? Starting at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be with our friends on a snowy day. I pray that this message would be one that you would sing forth in. And Father, that you would just comfort our hearts, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you today because of the word that is being spoken. We ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much. This is really a very simple message. I have a simple outline this morning. My first point is this. Are you ready to write this down? Present your body to God. How do you like that? Pretty simple. But there's a lot to be said in that, isn't there? You think of Calvary and how Christ presented himself on that old rugged cross that day. And how the Apostle Paul, even at the end of his life, said, I'm like a drink offering being poured out. All of it's being poured out. Paul said, for me to live is what? What did he say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so Paul was not being a hypocrite here when he was talking about presenting oneself as a living sacrifice. Now, God wants his children to be different. And we really are different than the world. When God comes in and to your life, the Bible tells us, and you know this, that we become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now look, for whatever motivation you came here this morning, you came on a snowy day. Thank you very much to hear someone you had no idea who. And yet, think about it for a minute. If you tell your lost friends or relatives, they say, well, how are you spending the weekend? Going to church. Oh, yeah, right. Going to church. Yeah, well, don't you know it's snowy outside? You could be watching television this morning. You could be doing whatever you want, and you're going to church. Yes. Well, why is it? Well, maybe it's because you're like me. You're a little crazy. I don't know. Or maybe God has just made you different. He has made you to be different. And you know something? We need to be reminded of that now and then, don't we? How many could quote this verse forward and backward? We could. And yet, you know something? These verses, even though no matter how we think about them, no matter what we feel about them, they don't change. The truth of the matter is God has done so many good things for us that our response to him, whether we're young or whether we're old, is to present ourselves to him. Present our bodies. Now, our bodies are the tangible tools. You know, your body is both a tool and a tabernacle. It's a tool in the sense that God has given you the ability to do things for him. In Romans chapter 6, he says, now look, once upon a time, before you were ever saved, you presented yourselves to do evil. And you were in control of your life. You did what you wanted to do. But now I want you to present or yield yourself to do what is right, to use your body as a tool. I appreciated the special music this morning. Thank you for that flute solo. That was very nice. I appreciated that and the piano. You know, I thought to myself, you know what? I've got a cold, so I'm not very deep this morning, okay? That's why I've been bumping you instead of shaking your hand. I told Pastor Dave, I said, I am brain dead this morning. So I'm sorry. We'll try to make it through. But you know something? I sat, and here's my deep thought. I thought, listening to this music, I thought, you know something? God likes that. And when you present yourself to do what is right and what is written in his book, he likes that. You please him. You say, I know. Anybody here a perfectionist? All right. I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not. You can tell already. You know something? Some of you, best illustration I ever heard of this is this. You know, because there are some of us that think, how could I ever please God? How could I ever do that? He's God and I'm not. I mess things up. I'm imperfect. Remember, how many here have kids and grandkids? How many here are grandparents, okay? I'm a grandparent of three and one on the way, okay? Your mind goes to mush when you're a grandparent. Right? What happens when your grandkid colors you a picture and they don't even pretend to stay in the lines? What do you do? Oh, it's beautiful. I'm gonna put it up on my refrigerator and look at that. All week long, all month long. You know, now think about this for a minute. What if you had some company come over and they said, oh, look at that picture. Did you draw that? Yes. Well, you're not very good, are you? You see, it's all the heart, isn't it? It's presenting yourself. Now, I've got a lot of M's to share with you under this, present your body. First, we can look at this as our mandate to present our bodies. Now, Paul says this. He says, I am beseeching you to present your body. Now, a mandate, okay, is he's saying, I'm urging, but this mandate creates a demand. And the text really supports this idea. Note, first of all, our position in Christ demands it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. Romans 6, 1. Now, the Apostle Paul, is we're right in the middle of an argument about grace. And the argument is, oh, if God gives me more grace, well, then I should sin more, because then I'll get more grace. And Paul says, certainly not. Notice what he says in verse number one. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who are dead, who have died to sin, shall live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, let's read that little phrase together. If you have a New King James or King James, should we what? Walk in newness of life. It's because of who you are that you're different. Growing up, you tried it. I tried it. Peer pressure is incredible. And you go to your parents and you say, look, I want to do this. Other kids are doing it. And what did your parents say? You know what I'm saying. They're not my kids. You're my kid. You know what? You're God's kid this morning. And so whatever you do, you give to him. You give your temple to him. You give your tool to him to do his will, to present. Now, let's notice another thing here too. Our bodies, we notice the priority of obedience demands it. He says, I am urging you, brothers. Now, Paul could say, look, I'm the Apostle Paul. God sent me, and you better obey. Now, there were some times when he kind of did that. He had to. You know, he pulled out his apostle badge and flashed it and said, look, obey. But here, he humbly says, I'm urging you, brothers. I am urging you. I am pleading with you. This is a priority. You know, God doesn't give us commands that are bad for us. It just makes sense. In fact, later on it says it's your reasonable service. It makes sense, doesn't it, to obey God? He says, I'm urging you, brother, this should be your priority. This is not the Apostle Paul saying, I am urging you, brothers, by the mercies of God. Please, no. Paul was Jewish. I am urging you. This is very colorful language. Now, folks, look, here's the application. Let's make an application right now. Maybe there's somebody today that's saying that Paul, if he were standing there and he knew your heart, the Holy Spirit says, no, look, I'm urging you to present your body for you. That means stop doing this. Stop looking at pornography. Stop it. Stop gossiping. Stop lying. Stop watching so much TV, for crying out loud. That's all you ever do is watch TV. Read your Bible now and then. Read your Bible. Think about it. Stop thinking about your job all the time. There's more to life than that. I know you've got to do it. Stop. And then there are some of us that he's saying, you know what? You need to start. You need to use your body in a good way. Get that body out to prayer meeting. You haven't been to prayer meeting in ages. And you know what's great? I don't know any of you. Well, I just met you, some of you, but I don't know if you go to prayer meeting or not. That's so great about being a special speaker, Brother Dave. It really is. You haven't been in prayer meeting. You found every excuse in the book, and the Holy Spirit's been encouraging you and convicting you to go to prayer meeting and be a blessing. But you know what? I just too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too. Maybe it's been using your mouth to tell someone about Jesus. It's been years since you. I don't know. And you know something? He does that to me too. He does that to all of us, and that's probably why Paul is saying, brothers. Maybe he realized the struggles that he had too. The glory of God demands it as well. Let's go back up to 36. Notice, by the way, he says, I beseech you, therefore. So he's kind of going back up. He can go back up to the previous verses right before that, or it seems like chapter 12 marks a new shift in the book, all the way from 1 to 11. And then Paul says, now we're going to get practical about this. And so we could include from everything from 1 to 11 all the way up to this, therefore. But let's just go back one verse. Know what he says. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Notice, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Therefore, and you know, something in me just says, it just makes sense. And then guess what? The verse says, it's your reasonable service. Maybe Paul's just saying, it just makes sense. You see, God's glory, who he is, demands the very best from us. You think about who God is? You think about him all that often? How long has it been since you just spent time thinking about him and what he means to you and the glory that he deserves? So his glory demands it. Now, here's another M. Ready? Our motivation. The mercies of God. These are undeserved riches that God gave us. This word mercies has the idea of a compassion, deep compassion. Wonderful, wonderful compassion. What the psalmist says. He says, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. I was noticing here, a little baby walked into the lobby, and somebody was comforting him. And I said, you know, boy, that's a tough job. Not really so tough, is it? Holding that baby. You know what the first feeling you have when you see a little baby? You know what it is, right? It's, oh, right? Do you know that Hebrew word, the word pities, has the same idea as when you see that little baby? It's a, oh. You know, God feels that way about you. Now, he's holy, he's just, he's mighty, he is transcendent. He's way out there. We know that. But you know, there's a side of God that he calls himself Father. Isn't that wonderful? I don't think the Muslims have that, do they? They can't call Allah their Father. Like a father pities his children, he pities you. He loves you. And that's a great motivation by the mercies of God, by his compassions. And you know what? They're all over in Romans. All these doctrinal, wonderful things that we see. We see justification by faith, how God makes us righteous through Jesus, and we can never have righteousness on our own. How we are sanctified through Christ, and we are set apart as his people, Romans chapter 8. And not only that, but how Jesus himself is our intercessor, intercede. He intercedes for us. And you go back in Romans and you just see all that theological good stuff. And Paul says, you know, I've laid it all out for you. Now, therefore, present your bodies. You know what present has the idea of, and I was just reading, has the idea of yield to in the presence of. When I present something, I'm yielding up something in the presence of. And verse number one also talks about this whole idea of a sacrifice in the presence of a holy God who loves us. Now, here's a third thing, and that's our manner. And we're only going to get to verse number one, I promise you. Just verse one today. Our manner. It needs to be purposeful, folks. It's not something that happens on accident. This is an idea of a command. It's an infinitive, but it has an idea that, hey, do this. You present yourself on purpose. In other words, you make up your mind. You need to take initiative how you're going to use your body in such a way that would please the Lord. You must decide. You must decide. Now look, I'm not minimizing the whole idea of addiction. Not at all. I'm not saying this is going to be easy. But you know something? Even with addiction or habits, some of you might be saying, you know something? God's been talking to me about something. I just can't. Hear me. You can't. You can't in your own strength, but God can. You know, if you're saved, He wouldn't be telling you this if He didn't give you the ability to overcome. Does that make sense? He's saying to present yourself. Well, how's that? Well, okay, start out the day. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. And some of you, you have grace here. Sometimes I feel like you guys should be up here talking to me when it comes to Christian life experiences. And some of you know how that works, don't you? You've seen God in the victories, haven't you? You've seen when you didn't think you could do it. And you look at life and you just say, ah, how is it going to happen? And yet, you know what? You get up, you say, you know what? If God said it, I can do it, well, then I can do it. And you know what? You did it. And you can look at, and you, like the songwriter said, what? Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burden down, Jesus led me all the way. You know what? It's true. And what greater manner than to on purpose, and what greater pleasure you can give to God by saying, I've made up my mind. I'm presenting myself to you, oh Lord, today. You know, do it. Now, Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Let me look there, will you? Just turn there a little bit. Romans chapter 6. And I'd like to look at verse 13, Romans chapter 6, and verse number 13. Let's start in verse number 11, shall we? It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now stop there for a minute. As a young guy, that was seemed to me to be a little bit abstract. What does that mean? I don't get this. Well, it's kind of like getting married, okay? When you get married, you say no to everyone else, don't you? You better. You say yes to the one person. You say no to everyone else. And that means, listen to me, that means you don't look at any other woman, guy. That means you don't think about any other man, lady. It means you rule them out. Here's another little phrase for people that are non-abstract like me. Sin is not on the menu today. Sin is not on the menu tomorrow. Sin is not on the menu next week. Okay? It may be on other people's menu, but if you're a Christian, listen to me. Now I'm getting real serious. It ain't on your menu. I'm to think that way. I'm to present myself a living sacrifice. My manner, it's a practical sacrifice. It's purposeful, it's practical, it's living. We know in the Old Testament that the sacrifices that were made died of necessity. They prefigured Christ's death on the cross. They died. They were given wholly up. Now, how can a person honestly be a living sacrifice? Well, it's quite simple. We go back to Romans chapter 6 again. We, instead of doing bad things for ourselves or selfish things, we do unselfish things for God. I'm trying to be very simple about this. Am I getting through? We do selfless things for God with a heart for God. Now, just doing them, that gets pretty old pretty fast, doesn't it? Because our old person doesn't like that. But with a heart and a love for God, I just keep doing it. I just keep doing it. Man, is it your job to take out the garbage every day or every week? It's mine too. I forgot this week. But I like living outside because, you know what, it's cold out there, no problem. I take out the garbage. Part of that is because of my job. That's what husbands do. Well, another part of it is I don't want her handling all that yucky stuff either. See, I kind of like Catherine. She kind of likes me. I do it. Why? Well, I don't always feel the love. Oh, wonderful. I'm so happy taking out the garbage. I love you, honey. I don't do that. That would be weird. Okay? But it's there. And every now and then, I got to be reminded of why I'm doing what I'm doing. So do you, right? You got to be reminded why you're doing what you're doing, because we love him. And he's been so good to us. There's a third thing. It's a pure sacrifice. Holy. Holy. There's an aspect of purity, but then there's also an aspect of wholeness, of devotion. You know, the Bible tells us that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Remember that? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The priest would take the blood and he would go and he would take the blood and he would sprinkle that blood on all of the things in the temple. In the temple or the tabernacle, there would be the candle holder. There would be the bread table, showbread. There'd be all the, and he'd sprinkle that. They would sprinkle it. It was holy. And it wasn't just because it was pure gold. Okay. They were holy because they belonged to God, and they were used for God's service. That's what our bodies are for. Used for God's service. Last, it's a pleasing sacrifice. It's acceptable to God, as I mentioned before. We are pleasing to him. Pleasing, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. It's you offering that up to him. And it's reasonable. I love that. It could be translated spiritual. The word is logikos. I'm not sure exactly where to go with that. It could go this way. It could go that way. Our service to God. It's reasonable. It makes sense, but it's something that you have to do. Now, I've preached this. I've preached presenting your body. How's that going to look in your life? How's that going to look? How are you going to do it? You're going to keep on going on? Maybe you're doing it already. Praise God. But what needs to change? Anything? Anything need to be taken on or put off? You see, that's where you, the Holy Spirit in you, come into play. Because it may look different for me in application, but the principle's the same. How about purity? about what we say, about the things we listen to, about the people that we allow to influence our thinking. How about all of those things? How about how you drive? Yeah, I heard that guilt. I heard that snickering. You mean you drive too fast here too, in New York? Maybe not around here, right? But, do you know what I'm talking about this morning? It's all about you and him. It's all about you and him. So what are you going to do? My next question is, do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? You could go to this church, sit in the same pew, and be so far away from God. You know how you can really tell if maybe you know the Lord or not? If everything that I've said does not resonate with you somehow, and it just doesn't make sense and you don't want it to make sense, you're probably not saved. You say, wait, not judgmental? No. I've done a lot of funerals, and I've never poked or prodded anybody. That gives me the creeps just thinking about it. But if I did go up to a corpse and it didn't move, there was no sign of life, I could safely assume that that person's dead. Now, you may have prayed a prayer some time ago, but you know, if it never affected your life, if it's never been something that's been integral part of you, then take a good look at where you're at. And you know, if that's the case, be concerned. Talk to Pastor Dave or talk to somebody that you respect and you know here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let's read that verse number 1 together in closing, shall we? All together, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Thank you. Let's pray.